This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
On this Pentecost Sunday, we will, of course, recount the Spirit's infilling. And Dr. Wyatt relates that we are never to underestimate the Spirit.
Thank you, Dennis. And yes, this is once more Pentecost Sunday. Sharon's reading is, of course, from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And we will do our best to see something fresh. Do stay with us.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, his own native language? Parthians, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?"
Thank you, Sharon, very much. What Sharon has read is very familiar to all Christians, for it is read almost every year at this time. For this is Pentecost Sunday, a day which is meant to highlight that moment in which the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Paraclete, was once more bestowed on man, only this time it is meant for all flesh, as Joel prophesies, upon the old and young men, yes, including your daughters. A time to delve into just what is the purpose and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when we know and appreciate all that this bestowment meant, we will come to never underestimate the Holy Spirit. Such an appreciation may and often will brand one as odd, even a little extreme. Yet if one does seek more of God, if one is dedicated to the gospel, loves the Lord, and wants to be of service in the kingdom of God, if one is filled to overflowing, really engaged in and by the Holy Spirit, you too will be called drunk with wine, even at 9 a.m. Yet it is about the Spirit this day. And take care, don't make the mistake of ever underestimating what the Spirit can and will do. Never underestimate the Spirit of God to enable, equip, guide, and inspire. For it was for this reason that our Lord charged his disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they had gathered in one place. This is often seen as the birth of the church, but it is more correct to say this is the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is the Holy Spirit that makes the church, the ecclesia, inevitable, and they are meeting as God's assembly, His church. But as I have said often, they meet in a way we would not recognize, as an insulated group of thousands meeting for prayer, teaching, and sharing, all within the vast precinct of Herod's temple, meeting not as the new Israel, not yet anyway, but as another sect of Judaism. It will take time for the guidance and urging of the Spirit to put into motion what the church is to be, the validation, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Here, as God's people returning from exile to fulfill the truth of the new Israel, to be the new people of God with life in the Spirit, the life of Christ, abiding with the presence, the Shekinah glory now. The wait is over. That is why we hear in this text the apocalyptic language, language we find in Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Whenever God moves decisively in human history, whenever there is a monumental change, an end of one era and the beginning of another in prophetic language, or better, apocalyptic language. We hear it described in this heavenly perspective. One light is dimming, emerging now with something with even more light. Our text describes this initial provision of the Holy Spirit in now familiar terms, the mighty wind. The Old Testament imagery is unmistakable, for in Hebrew, breath, wind, and the Spirit are all the same word. Here all the Old Testament expectations are met. All the Old Testament prophecies are at last brought to their full and complete understanding. Here we find the meaning of God's redemptive plan. In Christ Jesus is met all of God's purposes for mankind. He was delivered up by God's foreknowledge, the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. A new Israel is to be formed around a special, new called out 12. All stamped by God's vindication, His approval. For he who had been crucified, now God has risen from the grave. And now this, what all those present had seen and heard, is not the result of wine, but the promise of God's Spirit is a reality. It now dwells with mankind. The very presence of God is no longer only found in the Holy of Holies. Although it was well known at this time that the Shekinah glory no longer abided above the mercy seat. In fact, there was no mercy seat, no Ark of the Covenant beyond the veil of Herod's second temple. This was the reason for the prevailing belief that the exile, the separation of God from His people, was still ongoing. Why the popular theology, the hope embodied in the expected coming Messiah, was tied up with the complete and full return of Israel from their diaspora and the return of God's glory. This, His tangible presence among His people. That is why the symbolism of the veil in the temple being torn at the moment of Christ's death. This is the meaning of the wind and the tongues of fire, and then the diverse tongues, unknown to those being so filled, all praising God, extolling the wonders of God in all the various languages represented on this great feast day of Pentecost. God has returned. The divisions of mankind are finished. The effects of Babylon vanquished. The exile of God's people from God's presence is now over. The Shekinah glory, the tangible, real presence of the Lord, is now part of all who believe in Jesus Christ. It would be sad to deny what was occurring. Some, as they always do with the move of God, find alternative explanations. They are drunk with wine. And they do it today. Whenever God moves, oh, they're just emotionally unstable. They are not sophisticated enough to understand the nuances of what Scripture is saying here. They are into false doctrine. We have heard all of this nonsense with the many paltry and simplistic explanations for the resurrection of Jesus and the empty tomb. And we hear it when a people of God begin to embrace the full impact, live the full implications of life in the Spirit, of abiding fully in Christ and He in them, and then begin to live fully in the Holy Spirit. They do not see, nor do they wish to see. Yes, the sun became dark, the moon turned to blood. They don't want to see the signs on earth, the blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Instead, they say they are drunk. They are just being silly. They don't understand. They're superstitious and ignorant. But it is the reverse. They have been grasped by something beyond words, beyond wonder, beyond our beggarly descriptions. It is the very presence of the Creator to guide, inspire, and enable, that we might be that people of God He intended all along, the light to the nations, the mountain of God to which all nations, tribe, and tongues shall flow. On this day, thousands were pricked to the heart. You see, this could not have occurred even outside some upper room in the narrow streets of Jerusalem. Certainly not that room in the southwest part of the old Turkish city of Jerusalem that they take the pilgrims and tourists to. No, this took place in the very temple of God. It was the hour of morning prayers, 9 a.m. We know the disciples, as the early Christians are being called at this point, met daily in the temple. Read Luke 24:53. Only here in the temple could the impact of these events be realized. Only here could such a group be gathered. Only here must Peter preach this first sermon. Where the initial events of Pentecost occurred could be debated. If it was indeed in some small room, it had to be close, for it was quickly transferred to the temple precinct, and the word translated house, oika, has indeed other meanings, even in this book of Acts. Often translated household, and even in chapter 7, it refers to the temple of Solomon. In this place, with the noise, wind, and tongues of fire, so that the very Spirit of God has infilled a small group of people, 120, this is the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. And now everything will change. The cowardly become brave, the faint strong, the timid bold, those insulated and inclusive will now become those who will turn the world upside down. Never underestimate the Spirit's power to change, challenge, and open up possibilities. 3,000 came to accept this Jesus as Lord and Savior because of Peter's Spirit-inspired sermon. It was the Spirit's doing. When the Jewish authorities told the disciples to keep quiet, they praised God and continued to preach. And then when imprisoned, the angel of the Lord released them. And they went right on preaching in the temple. It was the Spirit's doing. Remember Peter dozing away at noon and given a vision that leads him to accept an invitation to go to the house of the Roman centurion, Cornelius. And the Gentiles also are filled with the Spirit. Yes, it is always the Spirit's doing. A man named Saul was stymied on his way to Damascus to persecute the fledgling Christian movement. There, under the blinding light of God's judgment, Saul is blinded, and yet saw the light and became Paul and took the gospel to these Gentiles. It was the Spirit's doing. Martin Luther nailed his thesis on the door of his Wittenberg church, and it was the Spirit's doing. John Wesley, when he stood on the stump calling his fellow students to faith, it was the Spirit's doing. When Jonathan Edwards would read his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and people would stream to the altar in repentance, it was the Spirit's doing. When my grandfather began this ministry, went to West Africa when no one else would, and saw the incredible response to the full gospel message of God's Word, it was the Spirit's doing. Never underestimate the Spirit. And let's be honest, without the Spirit, our churches become ordinary, stale, and inept. And it is my experience that in many Christian lives, in far too many churches, the Spirit is all but forgotten. There is certainly no room for him. The Spirit's presence doesn't seem to matter. We have our musicians. We have the graphics and digital programs ready. The finger food, donuts, fruit punch, and coffee all ready for after the service. There just doesn't seem to be any room for him. Perhaps it is fear of this Holy Spirit as some unseemly exhibitionism or worse. But none of that is the Spirit's work, but the flesh. The Spirit has come to empower, equip, enable, comfort, edify, and instill us with His calling. To ignore the Spirit, to underestimate the Spirit, is not the church. It becomes a service club, a social gathering. For in truth, a church is actually aimless without the presence of the Holy Spirit. But sadly, is there even any room in the crowded church program each Sunday for the Holy Spirit to even move? Please don't ever underestimate the Holy Spirit. Oh, let us make room in our lives, in our churches. For it is the Holy Spirit who changes lives. It is the Spirit that quickens and draws us to the Savior. It is the Spirit that enables, equips, and inspires. It is He that will make us aware of the fake, the charlatans, the heretics. It is the Spirit that will lead us into a deeper walk. It is the Spirit that heals, delivers, and awakens in us our potential. It is He who makes us the kind of Christians who stand before kings, governors, and authorities. Don't underestimate the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit in our lives, in our churches, urging, leading, and speaking that makes all the difference. Be open, available, eager for the Spirit, for the Spirit will do the rest. Just never underestimate the Holy Spirit. O Lord, on this day of Pentecost, let us all be quickened by Thy Spirit. Let us embrace the Spirit in our lives. Let us indeed, as Paul asks us to be overflowing with the Spirit of God, that we might touch, enable, heal, and see God moving. For we will one day see this fulfillment as Thy kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. All for the glory of God and in the precious name of His Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Pentecost Sunday is a day Christianity will look at, perhaps for the only time in a year. We here do spend a lot more time on the Holy Spirit, as it is often overlooked, even forgotten. And why this week, Dr. Wyatt, my husband, is offering his primer titled, The Holy Spirit, Who, Why, and How. It is a vital and scriptural study on just who the Holy Spirit is, and why He is available, and how He can empower your own life. It is brief and may open up to you, He who can change everything for you. Just write and ask for The Holy Spirit, Who, Why, and How. It can be yours at no charge. Well, thank you just doesn't seem to say enough to those of you who have become a part of this ministry with your gracious prayers and wonderful support. You are such a blessing to us in so many ways, and we rejoice that you are a part of this work with us for our precious Lord. Your love offerings are what make this radio ministry possible, and God bless you for all of your support. Doing what we can together will make this world a much better place. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. The Holy Spirit is often overlooked, perhaps forgotten, or misunderstood. When He is crucial to our walk in Christ, the persistence of our faith, and the extent of our being remade in the image of Christ. The Spirit needs to be received, be a part of our lives, and is one thing I emphasize in all I do in this ministry. For the Spirit purposefully brings praise and worship to the Father and the Son, not to Himself. Yet that does not mean we ignore or avoid the Spirit. To do so is to jeopardize our effectiveness. The Spirit does so much in our witnessing by His effectiveness in guiding, correcting, and empowering. Just ask any effective pastor, elder, teacher, and those who hear and obey His urgings. I do hope you will write and ask for my book on the Holy Spirit. Dennis will give our addresses once more. Now, Brooke Litterwood performs a great newer hymn, A Thousand Hallelujahs. So until next week, do be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine.
On this Pentecost Sunday, we as Christians celebrate far more than the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but a new age, the fulfillment of prophecy, and the act of God's faithfulness to His promises. We do ask that you please remember this ministry, one dedicated to the proclamation of the Spirit's empowerment and the unadulterated gospel. So please do write, for to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for this Sunday, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, The Holy Spirit, Who, What, How. Here is provided all the information you will need to understand just who is the Holy Spirit, what He would do, and how He can be active in your life. So please write and ask for your copy of The Holy Spirit, Who, What, How. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those that love Him.